welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting shows from the golden age of radio. I'm your host, Mark Levenier. In this hour, quiz programs. Later on, we hear Second Chance from 1955. But right now, it's the Groucho Marx comedy quiz series, You Bet Your Life. This first heard on CBS on March 1st, 1950.
Ladies and gentlemen, the secret word tonight is door. D-O-O-R.
Really?
You bet your life. The DeSoto Plymouth Dealers of America present Groucho Marx in You Bet Your Life, the comedy quiz series produced and transcribed from Hollywood. And here he is, the one, the only...
Groucho Marx!
It's a fine name for a grown man. Oh, that's me, Groucho Marx! Well, last week we dropped $3,500, so tonight we start fresh with $1,000 for one of our couples. George Fenneman, who gets first whack at it?
Just before we went on the air, our studio audience selected a bachelor and a spinster, and here they are, Mr. Maurice Hauenstein and Miss Irene Tom, meet Groucho Marx.
Welcome, kids, for the DeSoto Plymouth Dealers. And if one of you says the secret word at any time, he wins $100 in cash. It's a common word, something you see every day. Bachelor and a spinster, eh? Miss Tom?
How do you
pronounce it? Tom?
Tom.
The H is silent, eh?
That's right.
Like in herring. What kind of work do you do, Miss Tom?
I handle the retirement records and special pension files for General Petroleum Corporation.
And Mr. Havenstein?
That's right. Is that right? The name is Hauenstein.
Hauenstein. Isn't there a cow that has that kind of a name?
Close to it.
What kind of work do you do, Mr. Hauenstein?
Well, I am office manager for the Owens, Illinois Glass Company.
Mm-hmm. Why aren't you married, Mr. Hauenstein?
Well, I think I'm pretty old now.
I don't know. Look at Barkley. Look at Mayor O'Dwyer. Look at Hedy Lamarr. I tell you, you look at O'Dwyer and I'll look at Hedy Lamarr. How old are you, Maurice?
44 now.
Well, that's a wonderful age for marriage, isn't it, Irene?
Well, I think it is.
Just about right, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Just ripe, too, I'd say now. Maurice, how tall are you?
About 5'8".
And how tall is your ideal man, Irene?
Oh, about 5'7", 5'8".
I bet if Maurice was a midget, your ideal man would be about 3'6". Has dodging women ever led you into any peculiar experience, Maurice?
Well, only one that I can think of.
Well, that's the one we want. Well, let's have this yarn, Maurice.
I don't know how fitting it is, but here in Los Angeles, I took a young lady up to the apartment of a boyfriend of mine, and no one was home.
Well, so far, you're okay, huh?
I couldn't get in, but I knew how to get in because he'd always lose his key, so we would push the garbage can aside and enter.
You had the
from...
garbage can in the living room?
When you were out in the hall, you could enter through the garbage entrance to get in to unlock the front door.
Well, that's the wealthiest garbage you'll ever encounter. You just said door, and that's our secret word tonight, so you just won $100 in cash, compliments of the DeSoto Plymouth Dealers of America. Do you remember what we were talking about when the bell rang?
After I'd gotten inside, I had to go around to unlock the front door. I didn't know that the boyfriend had moved out about three weeks before.
Well, whose garbage was it?
When I got inside, there was a man and his wife in bed. I was pretty dumbfounded, and then I suddenly noticed he was getting out of bed in no uncertain terms. And of course, the front...
Well, What do you mean, a no inciting time?
I could see blood in his eye or something. He was after me. The front door was right handy there, but I didn't go out the front door. I went back out this garbage hole.
Well, that's certainly a very romantic interlude in your life. Now, as a confirmed bachelor, Maurice, who cooks your meals and rinses the gravy out of your neckties?
Almost anyone that's around.
Irene, are you a pretty good cook?
Well, I think I am.
What kind of a dish do you like to whip up? Anything in particular?
Well, I like fried chicken, but then, of course, I do have a recipe that I'm rather proud of that I like to serve to my friends called Rinkum Diddy.
Rinkum Diddy, did you say? Maurice, do you like Rinkum Diddy? You've never heard of Rinkum Diddy? Maurice, you've certainly led a sheltered and cloistered life. Huh? Irene, you're not trying to poison Maurice, are you?
No.
What is Rinkum Diddy?
Well, it's really a Welsh rarebit.
Maurice, you obviously need a good woman to look after you. If Irene proposed to you right now, what would your answer be? Would it be no?
Yes.
Well, you've changed your mind, eh, Irene? Here he is, struggling but still alive, huh? Well, congratulations to you two. I know you'll be very happy. And remember, Maurice, the secret word tonight is Rinkum Diddy. Well, I must say you make a charming and attractive couple, and apparently you have a great deal in common. Now, in just 1 minute, you're going to work together for a chance at $1,000. You bet your life. Now, let's see if an ex-bachelor and an ex-spinster will be the ones who get the chance at the DeSoto Plymouth $1,000 question. Fenneman, bring them up to date on the rules.
Each of our three couples has $20. They bet as much of that $20 as they want on each of four questions. The couple that earns the most money gets a chance at the $1,000 question at the end of the show. Our other two couples are in a waiting room off stage, so they don't know what's going on out here.
Here we go. Let's see how high you can build your $20. You select the cities and states as your category. Is that right? All of these cities are over 50,000 in population. Now, here's your first question. You have $20. How much are you going to try?
$10.
$10? Okay. Now, in what state is the city of Providence?
Rhode Island.
Rhode Island is right.
And they're on their way with $30, Groucho.
All right. Remember, you're going for $1,000 tonight. Now, how much of the 30 are you going to try?
10 more.
In what state is the city of Jacksonville?
Florida
is right.
They're climbing. They have $40 now.
Now, here's your third question. How much of the 40 will you bet?
$20.
In what state is the city of Patterson?
New Jersey.
New Jersey is correct.
They're really on their way. They have $60.
Here's your last chance to beat the other couples. How much of the 60 will you bet?
$30.
$30. In what state is the city of Sioux City?
Iowa
is right.
And they wind up with $90.
Thanks and good luck from the DeSoto Plymouth dealer. Stick around now. You may get a chance at the big question.
Groucho, the secret word is still door.
I know that, George.
Well, perhaps the next couple will say it, too. We have a butler, Groucho, and a housewife selected from the studio audience just before we went on the air. And here they are, Mrs. Irene Colt and Mr. Urbano Galindanis. Meet Groucho Marx.
Welcome, folks, to You Bet Your Life. And if one of you says the secret word, he wins $100 in cash instantly. It's a common word, something you see every day. A housewife and a butler, huh? Mrs. Butler, you're the housewife?
No, I'm Mrs. Colt.
What sort of work do you do?
I'm just a homemaker.
You do
housewife.
Nothing.
Nothing? What do you mean, nothing?
And Mr. Galindanis, is that right?
That's right, sir.
You must be the butler, huh? Where are you from?
From the Philippines, sir.
The Philippines, huh? Well, what do you do as a butler? Just what do you do?
See that the house runs smoothly. In
house runs
house.
Smoothly? You work in a trailer?
I should say that.
What was the best job you had as a butler, Mr. Galindanis?
I worked for a millionaire.
Oh, a millionaire? What was their name?
Oh, I would rather not say. That would embarrass him.
Well, could you give me their phone number? Huh? No, they might be looking for a gardener. I know I'm looking for a gardener. He stole my last bag of fertilizer.
Long distance, sir.
Tell me about their house. How many rooms?
Oh, they had 17 rooms in the house.
70 rooms?
17
rooms. 17 rooms, huh? And how many servants? Huh?
14 servants.
14 servants, huh? What were their jobs?
Oh, butler, second butler, chambermaid, upstairs maid, downstairs maid, cook, chef cook, second cook.
What does the second cook do? Succotash?
He cooks all the food.
Now, Mr. Gallandine is in your job with a big household. What's the first thing you do in the morning?
Get up from bed, sir.
Let's say you're up now. I mean, what's the way? What's the first thing you do?
First thing to do is to see that the breakfast is served. Or the maids carry the trays to the ladies. And I, the butler, carry the food to the gentlemen, to the boss.
You got the wrong job, haven't you? Can't you have a switch with the maids? Eh?
Never, sir.
Now, Irene, can you have breakfast in bed if you want it?
I could if I went out and cooked it and took it back to bed.
You wouldn't have to do that, Irene. At night, all you got to do is fill your hot water bag with coffee. Eh? And then in the morning, you could fry your eggs on the electric blanket. What else do you do on your job, Urbano? Do you help the master with his clothes?
Well, when he has no valet, sir, then I take care of that.
Let's say this fellow's a pauper who can't afford a valet. Now, what about the lady of the house? Who helps her with her dressing?
Oh, upstairs maid, sir.
How do you know you were asking? Do you have an upstairs maid, Irene?
I don't even have an upstairs.
I had an upstairs maid once, but she gave me a lot of trouble. She wouldn't stay upstairs. Huh? Well, Mr. Gallandinus, if taxes get any higher, my advice to you is to stop being a butler and become a tax collector. Now, you're going to work together as a team for a chance at $1,000. You run your 20 bucks into more than our other couples, and you'll get a crack at the DeSoto Plymouth big question. I can't tell you how much our first couple won, but George Fenneman is offstage to remind our listeners.
The Bachelor and the Spinster won $90.
Here we go. Let's see how high I can build you $20. You selected famous women athletes as your category. All right, now you have $20. How much are you going to try?
$10.
With what sport do you associate Babe Didrikson?
Golf.
Well, Golf is right, yes.
And they're on their way with $30.
All right, remember, you're going for $1,000 tonight. Now, how much of the $30 will you try?
$20.
What sport is Mildred Burke famous in? B-U-R-K-E.
Mildred Burke.
I'm sorry, it's wrestling. She's the world's champion wrestler.
Mildred Burke.
We had her on this program. She threw me twice in 3 minutes.
They now have $10.
Well, now you have $10, and here's your third question. How much of the 10 are you going to bet?
Shoot the works?
Yeah.
$5, all right. How much you gonna bet, huh? You want to compromise and make it $8?
Okay.
$8? Here's your third question. With what sport is Louise Brough associated? B-R-O-U-G-H.
Tennis.
Tennis is correct.
On the way again, I believe they have $18.
All right. Oh, what a mathematical genius that Fenneman is, huh? You've got $18. Here's your last chance to beat the other couples. How much of the 18 are you going to throw?
$15.
Okay. With what sport is Shirley Mae France associated?
Swimming
is correct.
And they wind up with $33.
You wind up with $33. Thanks and good luck from the DeSoto Plymouth dealers. Now, in just a minute, our last couple will be out here, and then we'll all get the chance at the $1,000. Fenneman, who's leading?
The Bachelor and the Spinster are leading with $90. And the secret word is still door. Perhaps the next couple will say it. We invited some tourist experts to the show tonight, and just before we went on the air, our studio audience selected Miss Josette Frontin from the French Consulate and Mr. Al Kostler, who drives a sightseeing bus. folks, meet Groucho Marx.
Welcome for the DeSoto Plymouth Dealers. And if one of you says the secret word, he wins $100 in cash. It's a common word, something you see every day. Miss Josette Frontin, is that right? Am I pronouncing your name correctly?
Not very correctly. It is Frontin.
Is Frontin?
Yes. Oh.
You're from the French consulate?
Yes, I am.
Parlez-vous français? You speak French, eh?
Yes, I speak French.
Bon appétit.
Thank you.
Merci beaucoup.
You are welcome.
I think this guy's a phony, huh? He hasn't said one word of French. Ah, mademoiselle, eau de cologne? That means I'll pay for the perfume later. Let's hear you knock off some French.
Oh, bien sûr que je parle français. J'arrive juste de France et c'est juste un petit peu pour vous entendre.
I knew you were French. Yeah. I know lots of French phrases. Ile de France, that means I'm sick of my friends. Chateaubriand, that means my hat's on fire. Where are you from, Josette?
I am from Dinard in Brittany.
You're from Dinard?
Yes.
What time did you have that, huh? Oh. I'm from Hunger. Is that anything like
that? No. That's not the
Where word. Is Dina?
It is in Brittany by the seaside.
Oh, I see.
Yes.
Who are you, Mr. Coswell?
I'm a sightseeing bus driver.
Oh. You speak English?
Yes, sir.
What dialect do you speak, Al? I'll call you Al.
Huh? I'm from Colorado. Grand Junction. Mm-hmm.
You speak French?
No, sir.
It's too bad. It would have been much easier if you spoke French. Then we could all three of us converse in the... in the language of diplomacy. I hope you don't mind if we speak English.
Oh, I think it would be very much better.
Oui, oui, patty for gras. Huh? What do you work for, Mr. Kosler?
The Tanner Gray Line Motor Tours.
And what are the Tanner Lines? Huh?
Well, we operate over all of Southern California, Nevada, and
who do you operate
Arizona.
Huh?
Bus sightseeing buses.
You operate on sightseeing buses?
Yes.
What do you use, a hatchet? Or? Now, what questions do your touring passengers ask most frequently, Al? Please stop at the next filling station? I want to phone my sister. What do they ask mostly, huh?
Mostly to how they can get into a movie studio and see movie stars.
What are some of the movie stars' homes that you point out, Al?
We pass Loretta Young's home and Joanne Crawford, Eddie Cantor, Jack Benny's, and...
Don't you go past my house?
We pass within about a half a block of you.
Well, if I knew when you were coming, I could walk up and meet the bus. Huh? Well, let's get back to you, Frenchie. What do you do at the French consulate? Are you an ambassador?
No, I'm not an ambassador. I work with a French commercial attaché.
Attaché? What is that? Yes. Is that when you stick somebody with a sword?
Oh, no, that is touché.
Touché.
Yes.
Is two attachés one touché? Say, I'm picking up quite a lot of the language.
No.
Well,
that
what,
means,
just what, huh?
That means attached.
Attached, yes. And tell me, Josette, are you attached to the attaché?
Oh, no, the attaché is attached to the French consulate.
Well, I hope they'll be very happy together. Well, are you attached to anybody, Josette?
No, I'm single.
Ooh la la! That's French, bus driver. But I think you understand what I mean. Huh? Well, how is an attractive French pastry like you are still in the bakery? Surely 50 million Frenchmen can't be wrong.
Well, there are not so many French men in United States.
Well, would you have to marry a Frenchman? Couldn't you marry one of the home guard?
Well, I think I could be interested in some American man, especially if he had some of the Frenchman qualities.
I see. Well... Ma chérie, what do you have in mind?
I would like him to be kind, thoughtful, gallant, courteous, debonair, and also what you call a good sport.
Well, what I call a good sport may not be the same as what you call it. How do you feel about American husbands, Al? Well,
I think they're kind and gentle, and big-hearted, handsome and well-heeled.
Well, Al, are you that kind of a husband?
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know? Don't you know what kind of a husband you are?
I'm not married.
Touché, Al. That's French, meaning I make the jokes around here. What do you find most interesting about the United States, Josette?
Oh, I think that is the fact that every people, Germans, Spaniards, English, French, just seems to be happy to live together, and just like if they were a big family. They are all American.
Well, you're very observant, Josette. Perhaps someday the whole world will see it that way, too. As secretary for the commercial attaché, just what are your duties?
My job covers a lot of territory.
You mean your boss chases you around the office? Well, what do you mean, Miss Frontin?
I mean I have to answer the phones and the letters, sometimes some funny ones. And also I receive the people wishing to go for a trip over to France.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'd like to go to France, and I'm planning on going there next summer. What kind of a trip would you suggest for me?
Well, what are you specially interested?
The same thing any other red-blooded American. The Eiffel Tower. Well, I've learned a lot about France tonight and also about bus drivers. Now, let's see if you two will win the most money and get the chance at the $1,000 question. Beat our other two couples, and that's all you have to do. I can't tell you how much they won, but George is slinking around off stage to remind our listeners.
The Bachelor and the Spinster are still leading with $90.
Here we go. Let's see how high I can build you $20. You selected stars of current movies as your category. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. Yes.
Now, here's your first question. You have $20. How much will you try?
Better just take
$5. $5. Who plays Samson in Samson and Delilah? No? That's a pretty easy question, though. You should have guessed it. Well, it's Victor Mature. Now you have $15. Well, all right. Remember, you're going for $1,000 tonight, so that's the big prize. Now, how much of the 15 will you try?
Make it 10, then.
Make it 10. All right. Who is the male star of Sands of Iwo Jima?
John Agar and John Wayne.
John Wayne is right.
Well, they're on the way now. They have $25.
All right, now you got $25. Here's your third question. How much of the 25 will you try?
10.
Who plays the title role in Thelma Jordan? Take a guess.
I don't know it.
No.
I'm sorry. It's Barbara Stanwyck. All right. Now you have $15. How much are you going to bet now?
You better say 15.
You want to shoot the works?
Yeah.
Okay, 15. Who stars in the Western Montana?
Earl Flynn.
Earl Flynn is correct.
And they wind up with $30. And that means the Bachelor and the Spinster get the chance at the DeSoto Plymouth $1,000 question. And
here is the bachelor and the spinster, the winning couple, all ready for the DeSoto Plymouth $1,000 question, Groucho.
All right, here we go for $1,000. Ready? I'll give you 15 seconds to decide on one single answer between you. So think carefully and please, no help from the audience. Here it is. Recently, in a big shakeup of personnel, a new chief of naval operations was appointed to succeed Admiral Denfield. Who is the present chief of naval operations? What is the answer you two have decided upon?
I'm afraid I don't know.
I'm sorry. It's Admiral Forrest Sherman. So that means the big question next week will be worth $1,500. Well, you lost the big money, but you won $90 in the quiz, plus $100 for saying the secret word. Congratulations and thanks to both of you.
You Bet Your Life is a John Goodell production, transcribed from Hollywood, directed by Bob Dwan and Bernie Smith. Music by Jerry Fielding. Be sure to tune in again next Wednesday night at this time for the Groucho Marx Show, You Bet Your Life, presented by the more than 3,000 DeSoto Plymouth Dealers of America. And remember, all dealers who sell DeSoto also sell Plymouth. Two great cars, both products of the Chrysler Corporation. And don't forget, next week, the big question will be worth $1,500.
Before winding up tonight's proceedings, I'd like to thank the radio editors of the United States and Canada for voting our show the best quiz program on the air in the annual poll conducted for Fame magazine. Well, it's almost time for Bing Crosby, so good night, folks, and remember, just be sure to see your DeSoto Plymouth dealer.
Here's a tip from the National Safety Council. The golden rule applies in driving, too. Drive as you would have the other fellow drive. This is George Fenneman, signing off for the more than 3,000 DeSoto Plymouth dealers from coast to coast.
You Bet Your Life on Tuned to Yesterday from March 1st, 1950, a CBS broadcast. Thanks for listening to an hour of quiz programs on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levionier. And now it's Johnny Olson hosting Second Chance. He was best known on radio for hosting the audience participation program Ladies Be Seated. We'll hear a broadcast from this later series from July 26th, 1955 on NBC.
If at first you don't succeed, there's always a second chance.
That's the voice of a famous personality who has experienced a second chance in life, and I'm about to challenge someone somewhere in the United States to identify that mystery voice for over $500 in cash and prizes. Also, you'll hear real people revealing the dramatic details of their lives on this, the transcribed Second Chance program.
Grown-ups or teenagers, privates or majors, are welcome at the YMCA. It's the Y for lasting friendships. At the Y you can worship and pray. Learn to be self-reliant, understanding, and quiet. That's the good old American way. Go straight to the Y from the station when you're away from home. They'll give you a smile and a welcome. You'll never feel alone. At the Y you'll find good fellowship any place in the USA. That's the way of this blessed land. Reach for a friendly hand at the YMCA.
Hello there, everybody. This is Johnny Olson welcoming you to Second Chance, the program that brings you real people telling their own stories and proving that if at first you don't succeed, there's always a second chance. And today you'll meet Mrs. Black, my guest on Second Chance, who is faced with the difficulty of raising a problem child. And she'll share her story with our audience in hopes of finding that second chance for her 7-year-old son. But before we meet and greet Mrs. Black, here's a tip to all of you anxious Mystery Voice fans across the country. Our famous Second Chance Mystery Voice can thank a second chance experience in life for having helped her up the ladder of success. And I'll be telephoning one of you home contestants for a crack at our dazzling jackpot of cash and prizes later on in the show to see if you can identify the voice that has all America on the alert. Do you know who this famous second chancer is?
Goats and cattle and sheep and me. A world of difference in one little E.
Boy, I hope you were listening closely to that voice and to the clue. Goats and cattle and sheep and mince in one little E. That's the voice that's worth over $1,200 in cash and prizes to the lucky home contestant that can correctly identify it when I call. And say, if you'd like to be eligible for one of my Mystery Voice phone calls, just send me your name and your telephone number. That's all. Just your name and your telephone number. Put it on a card and send it to Second Chance, Box 423, Radio City Station, New York 19. But now let's hear from our guest, Mrs. Black. You know, one of the greatest desires of a mother is to do the best thing possible for her child so that he is given every opportunity possible to grow up into a happy and a healthy adult. And our guest today has suddenly come to realize that while she was busy giving her husband his second chance, she neglected to give her baby his first chance. Hello, Mrs. Black, and welcome to Second Chance.
Hello, nice to be here. I do hope you people can help me with my problem today.
Well, now, I understand that your problem is centered around your 7-year-old son, Mrs. Black.
Yes, that's right. He's become a very nervous, high-strung, irritable child. He's very hard to handle, and his schoolwork has fallen off, and, well, somehow I feel I've neglected him.
And you just want to get some help? You just don't seem to know what to do?
I just don't know where to turn.
Now, you say that you have neglected him. How did that happen?
Well, it started back a long time ago before he was born with my husband. My husband was one of the few survivors of the Bataan Death March. He spent 3.5 years in a Japanese prison camp. And when he came home, we had planned to be married, but he didn't want to. He felt he was such a complete physical and mental wreck. He didn't think it was fair to me, but I just felt that our love was a little bit too strong to let an experience like this interfere. And I thought that I could help him get back on his feet.
So you went ahead and did get married then, feeling
that
you could help him to make the adjustment. Is
that
right?
That's right.
Well, now, being married to a man in such a nervous state must have been very difficult for you, Mrs. Black.
Yes, it was. He was very hard to live with. He was irritable. You couldn't speak to him. He couldn't hold on to a job, and, of course, it just made things very, very hard.
Did it make it more difficult when the child was born?
Yes, of course it did. I had to devote most of my time and attention to my husband. I had to completely give over myself to him, and I guess in this way the child was neglected. I didn't realize it at the time, though.
What exactly happened with your husband? Was he able to work regularly?
No, he couldn't hold on to any jobs. He didn't want to see people. He was irritable to the child, and I just feel that this centered itself. The child felt the emotional problem in the house.
Did your husband have treatment to help him?
Yes, he finally went to the Veterans Administration and got psychiatric help.
Well, now, you were so intent on giving your husband a second chance that you feel that you neglected your son, Mrs. Black. Now, what are some of the indications that made you feel this?
Well,
how did you first notice it?
Well, my little boy was a very good baby and a good little child. And then he suddenly became nervous, doing very destructive, bad things. There was no handling him. You couldn't talk to him. He took some rocks and grass and put it into somebody's gas tank. When scolded of this, it ended up costing us money for repairs, but when scolded of this and told how destructive it was, he just didn't care. He's gone over neighbors' fences, climbed their fence, knocked over wood piles. He's just completely out of hand. There's just no talking to
him. Does he seem like a very bright boy?
He seems like a bright boy, but his schoolwork has fallen off. His marks have become very bad, and he's also taken to stuttering. He did this when he was very young, when he first learned to talk.
Mm-hmm.
He outgrew it when he was up to about 5, and then when he started school, he started stuttering.
This
again.
Has reoccurred again, this stuttering.
Yes, he seems very nervous now.
Does he seem to mind his father better than you, Mrs. Black?
Yes, he seems to listen to things that he says a lot more than anything I reprimand him for, but his father works till 9 o'clock. He's not home much, and so I've got the job of handling him.
What do you think you can do about it?
I don't know. That's why I'm here for help now. I thought of taking him to a psychiatrist, but I just don't know if this is the right thing or not.
What does your family say about it, Mrs. Black?
Well, they feel I'm being very foolish, that he's just a very average, normal, overly boisterous boy, and that he'll outgrow this problem. It seems a little deeper than that to me. Friends of mine have, some have been nasty and have come up with the thought that, oh, his actions and his manners are inherited through his father, and that if his father's got psychiatric help, there's something wrong with the child.
Well, now, what does your husband think of that?
Well, of course, no father likes to admit that he's at fault for any problem in his child.
Well, now, how about it, folks? Here's a mother who feels that she's failed her son because of unintentional neglect, and she wants to take the right step in giving her son his second chance. Now, should she go so far as to give the child psychiatric treatment, or would it be better that she leave him alone? And I'm sure you folks in the audience want sincerely to help Mrs. Black, and we'll continue with your comments after this important reminder.
Me? Me fight communism, Dennis?
That's right, Alice. You can fight communism, and for as little as $1. Your truth dollar helps Radio Free Europe broadcast the truth to 70 million freedom-hungry people trapped behind the Iron Curtain.
You mean we can help 70 million people resist communism behind the Iron Curtain?
That's right. Radio Free Europe hits communism right in its own backyard. In Poland, Czechoslovakia, Hungary, Bulgaria, and Romania, millions of people listen secretly to Radio Free Europe. Radio Free Europe's broadcasts unmask Soviet spies and traitors, keep hope and courage alive. And believe me, these broadcasts bother the commies plenty. They spend millions of rubles a year just trying to drown them out. So far, without success.
And you say I can help by giving truth dollars?
Every dollar counts. Every truth dollar sends 100 words of truth over Radio Free Europe. Folks, why don't you help fight communism, too? And send your truth dollars to Crusade for Freedom, care of your postmaster.
Let's return now to Second Chance. Well, folks, you've heard Mrs. Black's story of how she'd like to give her 7-year-old son his second chance in life so that her nervous little boy may be sure of growing up into a healthy and happy adult. Now, would psychiatric treatment help, or do you feel that she can handle this problem alone? I'm in the studio audience right now to get some ideas as to what you folks think. Can she accomplish this with psychiatric treatment? And if she leaves the boy alone, will this condition get worse and make him a bigger problem later on in life, or will he outgrow it? What is the answer to her problem, do you think, ma'am?
Well, I don't believe that he should be taken to a psychiatrist until there's no other way. I myself have been placed in a similar situation. My husband was also a wounded war veteran, and I have raised 6 children since then, and even though his condition has not been quite as bad as this lady's husband, I know what it is, I think, as far as the boy is concerned. He was neglected when he was young, and they say it's a natural thing for a child to do destructive things to call attention to himself. Because he hasn't received the attention he rightfully felt was his. And in this manner, he feels that someone will notice him, if not his parents.
You feel, then, that psychiatric treatments would not be the answer in this case?
Not at the present time. I believe the boy is young enough to be corrected if the mother and father would take him out as often as possible and become threesome. I believe that the companionship of the parents...
All right, thank you very much. Here's a gentleman who would like to disagree, I'm
sure.
That's right.
This happened in my family. My little sister was a similar case and was taken to a psychiatrist who helped her very much. He said, mentioned that the child should be taken away from the mother. Not taken away. In other words, placed out of the care, not be in constant contact with the mother and father.
That they should, in other words, take the child away from the home for a time?
That's right, for a time.
Mm-hmm. And that would help?
That would help the situation, and it definitely did my sister.
Do you agree with that, ma'am?
Well, I think each situation is different. I've gone away a family counselor, and I think they've helped me a lot with my problems through myself and through the child. It was a stealing problem and very mischievous behavior, and they worked through me, through the child, to find out my feelings and the child's feelings, and I think that would help more Then a psychiatrist.
As a branch off of that, a counselor, you said?
That's right, a family counselor.
All right, let's get a youngster's viewpoint on this. After all, we have to consider them, too, because there's a young boy involved. You, sir, how old are you?
13.
Now, what do you think is the solution to this problem?
Well, he wants attention, so he goes out and starts doing bad things outside, and he wants other people to look up to him. So, I mean, you know, like boys who like to do those bad things, too. He thinks he's a big shot.
Well, now, what do you think she can do to completely make him normal in his reaction?
She should be a companion to him and take him out to ball games and have a good time with him.
Spend more time with
him?
Just a minute. Mrs. Black, have you thought of that at all?
Tried that. I've taken him to movies, to a ball game, but I just haven't seemed to have any help with that. I mean,
he's
perfectly the same way.
He seems to feel no remorse for the bad things that he does. Is that right?
Nothing.
Sir?
Well, I don't think that she should take him out, be a merry threesome with him whenever he does something bad. That's rewarding him for being bad. I don't think she should take him to a psychiatrist either, because all he'll do is take her money, and as they say, he's a head shrinker. And
just a minute. Yes, ma'am.
This attitude on psychiatry reminds me of the days years ago when they took crazy people and threw them in pits. I mean, this is head shrinkers. This is a terrible term to use. There are people in this world who need help and who can't figure things out for themselves, and these are qualified people who help them. You'd have many, many more disturbed people if it wasn't for doctors like this who help people.
And you have many very non-qualified psychiatrists. I mean, if she should take them to anyone, it should be a psychologist who is an M.D. also, not a psychiatrist who has gone 4 years to college and taken up psychology and knows practically as much as I do.
Well, I doubt that. Because I got news for you. If he set up an office and he's treating people, chances are he knows an awful lot more about it than you do. That's the trouble. There's too many amateur psychiatrists around.
But would a psychiatrist tell her if there was anything he could do for the child or not? Or wouldn't he just go on taking her money and seeing the child week after week?
No, he wouldn't go on taking her money. Maybe she needs help. Maybe he can straighten her out, and then in that way she'll be able to help her child. Maybe it's because, well, she almost admits that it's because of she and her husband that the child is that way. So maybe if he helps her, the child in his turn will straighten out. But you don't just say he's a head shrinker.
Sure, sir. Do you agree with the lady?
I absolutely agree with the lady. The attitude of these gentlemen have filled our hospitals. Half of all the beds taken in the hospitals in the United States are those of the mentally ill. And it's attitudes like these that fill these beds. Take the child while the child is young and take care of the child while it's young, and you'll stop filling these hospital beds.
Won't taking the child to a psychiatrist make even a greater problem with him? You'll give the child an inferiority complex.
No, just a minute.
He's going to wind up a juvenile delinquent.
I think the parents need the psychiatrist more than the child. The answer to this problem lies in the father's attitude for his son to have a companion in his father. And he should really show him more attention and more time. That is really the...
Thank you all. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you all very, very much. Our time has run out here. It was a very interesting discussion. I would like to sort of sum this up now so that we get sort of a general opinion as to how you folks feel here in the studio. How many of you, would you just shout out your answer with a yes on this, how many think that she should take him to a psychiatrist?
Yes! Yes!
Yes!
How many think she should work it out in another way? Say yes.
Yes! Yes!
Well, it's quite obvious that the majority of you feel that there is another way to work it out besides psychiatry. And thank you very much for your wonderful comments. I know Mrs. Black will weigh those remarks cautiously. I sincerely hope they've helped her in giving her son his second chance for happiness. And for you folks who have offered comments today, a token of our thanks in a beautiful crystal decanter of the champagne fragrance Intoxication by D'Orsay, creators of world-famous French perfumes. And thanks to you, Mrs. Black, for sharing your story with us. Please accept this gift of a lifetime, a beautiful Helbros watch, the watch of celebrities with lifetime jewels and unbreakable mainsprings, and please let us know what you decide to do. God bless you, and bye-bye. Hold everything, because right now I'm about to see who's going to get a crack at our huge mystery voice jackpot. The call's being... Is it done already, Bob? Thank you very much. This is where one of the home listeners whose entry card was selected from our big NBC contest barrel gets an opportunity to identify our mystery voice for that $1,200 in cash and prizes. Hi, this is Johnny Olson at Second Chance. Who's on the phone? This is Edith Marshall. How nice to meet you. And where are you speaking from?
Newark, New Jersey. No wonder we got a good clear connection right across the river. Mrs. Marshall, are you happy today? Well, you sure are, and you hope you win. Well, we're all wishing along with you, Mrs. Marshall. I want you to listen what can be yours now if you can correctly identify our mystery voice. So, are you ready to go? All right, here's what's in the jackpot, Mrs. Marshall. First, a $100 bank account from the makers of Beacon Wax. And Beacon Wax gives the hardest, the longest, and brightest gloss. And the makers of Tetley Tea are going to start a special Christmas fund in your name. $1 a day for the next 6 months. And remember, Tetley Tea is preferred by real tea drinkers. And still more cash, a $100 savings bond from Tony. The all-new home permanent, odor-free, trouble-free, and frizz-free as the wave can be. For the kitchen, a brand-new RCA Deluxe range. Are you still listening, Mrs. Marshall? Yes, then let me continue with the jackpot. For the man in the family, there's a rotary lawnmower from the nation's leading power mower manufacturers, Moto Mower. And for both of you, Arthur Murray will give you $100 worth of dancing lessons at your favorite Arthur Murray studio. Now, besides all of the many gifts and cash prizes, there's a vacation in New York City, too. You'll enjoy your stay in Manhattan as the guest of the famous Henry Hudson Hotel. And for pocket money, $50 in traveler's checks. And for your trip all the way in from Newark, a magnificent three-piece set of Amelia Earhart luggage. That is, if you have the right answer, of course. And to top off the jackpot, there's a beautiful Helbros watch, the gift of a lifetime with unbreakable mainspring and lifetime jewels. Helbros is the watch of celebrities. Isn't that a dazzling jackpot, though? All right, all this can be yours, Mrs. Marshall, if you can answer the question that has the whole country buzzing, who is this famous second chancer?
First, I was one of the girls, and then I found myself surrounded by men. My work repealed an unwritten law, a second chance on which others could draw. Goats and cattle and sheep and me, a world of difference in one little eve.
All right, now before you tell me who you think it is, I'm going to give you just exactly 1 minute to sort of think this over, Mrs. Marshall, because I can only accept one answer. So be ready when we return following this announcement. To keep America strong, the National Guard needs men in 55. Why not stop in at your local National Guard recruiting office for all the particulars? And now here's popular recording artist Patty Page with Tommy Dorsey in the orchestra and a musical message.
You're in style when you serve with the National Guard, right where you are in your hometown. Training won't interfere with your school or career. It's a wonderful deal all around. What a vet for a vet with the National Guard or a young man, all agree. You're in style when you serve in the National Guard to keep America free.
Mrs. Edith Marshall of Newark, New Jersey, your time is up, and I've given you just a minute here to think it over. Now, for over $1,200 in cash and prizes, who do you think the mystery voice is on Second Chance? Who? The actress Maureen O'Sullivan? Why do you think it's Maureen O'Sullivan? Because of all the animals in the clue. And what else? And she was Tarzan's wife in the movies. All those clues have helped you then, haven't they? You know something? It's not the right answer. Mrs. Marshall, I want to sincerely thank you, though. You're a wonderful person. I'd like to meet you in person sometime. And I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to send you a year's supply of chicken of the sea tuna so that you can make quick, delicious salads. And thanks a lot for sending in your card to Second Chance. And keep trying, won't you? Goodbye. Wow, for a moment there, she had me ready to jump clear across to Newark. But the tension is mounting and the jackpot is still intact, and there's still a chance for you two to get in on all the fun and excitement here at Second Chance. Remember, all it takes is just a postcard. That's it, just a postcard with your name and phone number on it, and you can send in as many cards as you want to. All cards go directly into our contest barrel, and the more cards you have in it, well, the more you increase your chances of being called when I select one at random. The address is Mystery Voice Contest, care of Second Chance, Box 423, Radio City Station, New York, 19, New York. So get your cards in the mail today. And now, here's a man with a message.
Come on, Bill. I'll give you a ride home in my new car.
Good.
How do you like it?
It's a beauty, Jim. But, say, these cars are pretty expensive, aren't they?
Well, Jim, I can afford it, so to me it's not expensive. For years, I've saved money through the payroll savings plan.
This car is one of the dreams I had. And I'm still buying savings bonds, so someday all my dreams will come true.
Yes, it's a great feeling to have savings. Money for the things you need and money for the things you've dreamed about.
Save the easy, the systematic, the sure way by investing in savings bonds. Do it today by joining the payroll savings plan where you work. Every payday, the amount you specify will be set aside from your wages for bonds. Systematically, automatically, your savings will grow. And remember, United States savings bonds are safe. Your government will replace them if they are lost, stolen, or destroyed.
If you're self-employed, save regularly through the bond a month plan at your bank. And have your children buy savings stamps at school.
The things you want are worth saving for. Save the sure way by investing in United States savings bonds.
Well, our time is up for today. It brings to an end another Second Chance program, and I'd like to thank all of our folks here in the studio audience for their many fine comments on the problem that Mrs. Black presented. And to you home listeners, if you'd like to express your feelings concerning your story, don't hesitate to send in your remarks to Mrs. Black in care of Second Chance at Box 423 Radio City Station, New York 19, New York. And I'll be glad to forward your letters to her. And while you're at it, enter your name and phone number in our exciting Mystery Voice contest. There's a huge pot of cash and prizes at the end of our Second Chance Rainbow for the lucky home listener who can come up with the right answer when I call. And who knows, it might be you. So until tomorrow, when I'll present another Second Chance story and make a long-distance phone call to someone somewhere in the United States, this is Johnny Olson transcribing a good goodbye in New York for Second Chance. We'll see you tomorrow.
Weekday mornings, hear the news with Kenneth Banghart over most NBC radio stations.
Second Chance on Tuned 2 yesterday from July 26th, 1955 on NBC. And that brings to a close this hour of quiz programs on Tuned 2 yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great shows from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levionier. Thanks for listening.